It's Wednesday. You know what that means.
What the fuck is up? Mispersonal Theater 420, episode 76, season 3, some episode number I forgot. I had it written down at one point. 29. Here it is. something, something backlash. I didn't know anything clever to call it. So something, something backlash it is.
All right. Quick happy birthday to Billy Kidman, Bobby Roode, Lindsay Dorado, and Kamaru Usman.
All right. Strain of the day. Ex-wife.
Always find the weirdest ones.
That's how I buy them.
I know.
I don't buy the normal ones. There's no fun saying those.
All right.
Well, we didn't do Prediction Friday for Backlash.
No.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
Oh, we didn't do a fucking show last week.
That too. But we probably still could have done a Prediction Friday at least, but that's all right.
Yeah, we could have done one for that and also Under Siege from Impact.
Oh, I didn't even know that was going on.
Yeah, see? We also missed like a fucking UFC fucking pay-per-view and everything.
Oh, wow. All right.
So, still the same score.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, let's just go Backlash, right? I mean,
that's... Yeah.
One of us was there.
I was there.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun, man. I definitely enjoyed it a gazillion times more because I was there than if I watched it on TV.
Yeah, probably. I mean...
But I feel like that's kind of always the way with live shows, so...
It was good. I mean, it wasn't anything special, but it was
It
good.
Wasn't bad. I mean, it opened with Cody and Seth, which that those match. Two are always going to put on a decent show, at least.
Better than the WrestleMania match, in my opinion.
It definitely was better than the WrestleMania match. I was pissed Cody won, but there's only so much I could do about that.
I'm glad Cody won, because then it's not that 50-50 booking bullshit.
This is true, but I do feel like they're going to continue with that for a second.
They're going to continue it since on Raw, Seth Rollins cost Cody Rhodes a shot at the United States title.
Yeah.
So.
You know, that's definitely going to go on for a while. I kind of hope that if, like, when he just beat him a second time like that, that it just ended it, but of course not.
Nope. Out to at least SummerSlam.
They're going to draw this out for a while. Because they're going to have to draw it out for a while, because then Cody's going to eventually have to, like, I also feel like Cody's going to try to almost get, like, a world title shot at one point, but then lose, and then win Money in the Bank, and then hold it till the day after WrestleMania. So.
Yeah. So you're on my theory on that one, huh?
Yeah. I really am.
He has to win Money in the Bank. He was on the commercial.
Who the fuck else is going to really challenge Roman at this point? Number one. I mean, aside from what? Bron Breakker? I mean, that's the only other person that he hasn't beaten yet that you could potentially throw him against, but I still don't believe they would beat Bron Breakker.
He's not ready yet.
He's not. He's definitely not ready for that. You know, so I just, yeah. Because they got no fucking roster anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who are they going to do? Bring in one person for one day.
But that's my thing, though, is like, who has Roman not beaten yet? And with the fact that he's got Heyman and the Usos on his side, like, it's going to be really hard. It has to be somebody different. And Cody is that different person.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
God forbid they push somebody, but you know, upside point.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that was a good match. Second
fun.
Match was Lashley and fucking Omos, if I remember correctly.
I didn't really pay attention to that one at all.
Yeah, I wish I had to go to the bathroom during that one, because that would have been when I went.
Hey, how are you this unbeatable monster, but also need a manager at the same time?
Yeah, I know. It makes no fucking sense. And I really hate Omos. I just, there's nothing about that dude I like. The only reason he's there is because he's 7 feet fucking tall.
Yeah, pretty much. That's literally the only thing he has. I don't.
He has no, like, he does not look good in the ring. He cannot speak with any real charisma.
That's why they give him a manager.
I honestly think that they should just let him never speak and just let MVP speak if this is what they're going to do.
That's what they were going to do. They offered that spot to the Bevins dude, and he said no, and then they released him.
Well, yeah, that's not surprising.
He wasn't going to resign with him anyway. He already told him, so.
Yeah. I don't blame him. Go somewhere else.
Go anywhere else. Go be Moose's manager.
Yeah. Because Moose ain't that great of a talker either.
He's better now.
He is better now, but he's just still not the greatest.
Yeah, anyway, so that boring match, we're going to skip that. I'm not going to score that match at all. That's like not rated.
Dude, it was funny because being there live, the whole place got quiet. And instead of hearing people get into it and all the chanting and other shit, 90% of what you could hear was just like being at a bar, 1,000 different conversations.
That's even funnier.
So that shows you how interested the actual people were in that fucking match.
Yeah, no, that one. What was that? That was Charlotte.
I thought was going to be the final match of the night, to be honest with you. Because I know Roman's the champion, and there was two tag teams in that and all that. But I figure the actual title match would be last, plus it's Ronda. I mean, she's known outside of wrestling, kind of like Brock.
Yeah, but Roman has to be the main event.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, but...
Jay was in the match. It's Main Event Jay. That's his name now, so, like...
But, I mean, it wasn't a bad match. I just... Like, I was vested in the fact that I just wanted Charlotte to lose because I hate Charlotte. But, so, it could have been anybody else, and I probably would have rooted against Charlotte. I'm not a huge fan of Ronda, though.
I'm not either. Like, I really didn't give a fuck about the match, but the match was way better. I mean, like, it was good. It's better than their WrestleMania match, too.
Yeah. It was definitely better than their Mania match. And, I mean, it was good.
Predictable, but it's fine. Like, it wasn't great. I know King hated it, but still, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely predictable. I mean, it was pretty cool, though. I liked it. I had a few good spots. I mean, the crowd was into it. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I got into it, so I just hate Charlotte. So anytime, like, and then to actually forcibly make her say I quit felt pretty cool.
It seemed kind of forced, but whatever.
It was definitely forced, but I mean, she did have her arm like wrapped in a chair and trying to like break it off, and apparently she's injured. I don't know if that's just because she's gonna take off for a while, if she actually got injured, but
she's getting married.
Oh, her and Andrade?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope so. I think it's
well. Okay. That's the last person I knew she was with, and they were like together for a while. I assume they still are because I haven't heard anything otherwise. But you never know.
Yeah, I mean, like you brought it up. Like, I don't fucking know. I assume so.
But yeah,
that
makes sense. Anyway, so.
But they had to write her up by giving her a legit injury, you know.
Yeah, well, they always do that stuff. They give legit injuries when they just need breaks for things, so.
Yeah, so she...
All the time.
And then, the best match of the night, by far, the Happy Moron versus the Happy Idiot.
Dude, it was so funny, because where we were sitting, I was, like, 7 rows away from, like, the kickoff show. And Madcap Moss came out, and he was, like, trying to, like, hype up the crowd before they went back live, like, onto the kickoff show from whatever little commercial thing they were playing. And he stared, like, right at us, and I just gave him, like, double Stone Cold fingers. Like, yeah. Fuck you. I don't care about you. I don't care about Corbin. Like, luckily I had to go to the bathroom during that match, so I missed that entire match, even though I was live.
Yep. I wish I could have done that. I mean, I don't remember what happened. Moss won, right?
I believe Madcap Moss won, yes, because I thought I heard his music hit when I was coming out of the bathroom. I'm like, oh, Madcap won. Okay, cool. Like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. And apparently a lot of other people didn't either, because I had to walk to like all the way to like the third bathroom because the one closest to me had the most unbelievable line I've ever seen in my life.
Everybody's not giving a fuck about Madcap Moss.
And when I came back to my seats, my girlfriend was like, yeah, apparently when you left, everyone started chanting bathroom break, bathroom break.
That's fucking awesome.
And I die laughing. I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Like, yep, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Great. And then we had the main event, Roman Reigns, and the Usos. Oh, they have the name called the Bloodline. They faced RK Bro and McIntyre. RK Bro.
RK McBro.
RK McBro. There you go.
That was a good match. I'm not gonna lie. It was a very fun match. I got wicked into it. It was really good. Yeah.
Fuck out of everybody.
Yeah, it's what you want to see with a match like that, you know. Definitely a breaking down a lot. Like it starts off slow and then it builds and builds and then it breaks down and you have crazy spot after crazy spot and everybody has their moment.
Yeah, good. That's little spotty little fucking bullshit.
Yeah. You know, and I can't believe Meltzer even fucking liked it.
Yeah, right? It's weird.
He's like, great PWG style match. And I'm like, holy shit, you never like anything from WWE. What the fuck?
It was just chaotic. It was fun. It was fine. It's predictable. Yeah. I knew he was gonna win, but it was good.
Yeah, Roman's definitely gonna come out on top because he's the champion. Like we just knew that.
2 years.
Yeah. So, exactly.
So there's that.
He ain't getting pinned and losing that title until the night after WrestleMania. Anyway, he's Hulk Hogan the fuck out of this title for sure.
Who cares? Just let him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you have a small roster and you're going to do that, you might as well just do it. It might piss a lot of people off, but it definitely still does bring some level of prestige back to the title.
I agree. It was fine.
Hopefully at the next pay-per-view, they just unify the women's and the fucking...
Unify the fucking tag team title, at least.
Yeah.
You can have two women's titles because you only have two women's titles to begin with.
This is true. So, well, they technically have three because they have their own tag team title, too.
True, but, like, they don't fucking use that for shit.
No. Not as much as they should. And that's what bothers me sometimes, too, about, like, you had a pay-per-view, and, again, there was no match on the kickoff show.
You know what I liked about it? See, like, you're going to play, you know, they weren't on, Ricochet wasn't on, you know, Austin Theory wasn't there, you're going to... Which is fine, but it was under 3 hours. And that.
Yeah.
I don't need it to be that long.
No, what I'm saying is it's under 3 hours and it's fine, but you also have an hour for a kickoff show and you could have stuck at least one, like, 10 minute match on your kickoff show. Because at this point.
Matches? You didn't get a single fucking dark match?
No, because it all ended like pretty much right at midnight, and then I hung around for a few minutes to see if anything happened, and nothing fucking happened. And I'm like, well, if nothing's happening, I'm not waiting around all fucking night because the parking lot is like right there in the garage, and I'm like, we're gonna get stuck in the garage for like all fucking night, and we had to drive like an hour and a half to get back home. So I'm like, I'm not staying forever just for nothing to happen. But, yeah, nothing really happened. And that's the thing. It's like I figured, like, your doors opened at 6. You didn't give me any kind of dark match before. You didn't give me any dark match after. You could at least give me another one 10-minute match in the kickoff show. Otherwise, if you're not going to do that, just drop the kickoff show down to a half hour.
Right. So because it's not like you could even hear that.
Nobody really pays a fucking attention to it. I couldn't even hear it. I'm just watching like JBL and them like move their mouths, but I can't hear anything. I actually brought up Peacock on my phone for a minute just to hear what the fuck they were saying.
That's probably fucked up.
So it was just like, you know, I was like, all right, whatever. But like, I don't know. Why do I need an hour kickoff show? Because we're all just sitting there in our seats for an hour doing nothing.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, they could have done something. They could put the fucking Madcap Moss on the fucking pre-show.
Fine, do that then, even. And, like, I don't care. I'm not saying I need a crazy long pay-per-view, but I'm just saying you had a potential to give me one more match. And you failed on that. That's my only thing.
What match would you want?
I don't know. Could have given me some women's tag team match. You could have given me, I don't care. I would have even taken Austin Theory versus fucking whoever. I don't care. You know?
Versus whoever. I don't care.
I don't know. Just give me something. Like, that's all. Because it's very annoying to, like, because, you know, we're very similar. And, of course, I'm showing up there, like, we showed up, like, 20 minutes before doors open. So we were pretty close, so we could file in quickly. But then it's like you wait an hour for the kickoff show, and then you have to basically just wait an hour through the kickoff show to actually see wrestling.
That's true.
I feel like that's just a shitty thing to do to live fans, at least. Because no one cares about the kickoff show at home.
Yeah.
Not, like, either.
I didn't watch that shit. I didn't turn the thing on until 8 o'clock.
During WrestleMania, the only reason I put it on is just to get the countdown clock so I knew, like, all right, how much time I had. All right, should I go to the bathroom one more time real quick? Make sure I got my snacks. Like, all that type of shit, you know?
Oh, we forgot a match.
What match did we forget?
Edge and Styles.
Oh, holy shit. We did forget that because that took place, actually, before the Ronda match.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that. That was a good match. That one was cool for me too, because, like, right where we were sitting when fucking Damian came out and then Finn came out to fight him off, they fought right past us. And what that did, for at least for the live audiences, everyone that was, like, was paying attention to them two fighting because they were so close to us, that, like, I didn't even notice, like, Rhea being out there in the sweatshirt until she was out there. And I'm like, whoa, who the fuck is that? Who the fuck is that? And then, like, from my view, all I could see was, like, kind of, like, shoulders and head in a hoodie standing on the outside. And the match ended. And I'm like, okay, well, we got a new member of Judgment Day. But the whole time I'm going, who the fuck is it? Who the fuck is it? And then it was Rhea. And I was like, holy shit. Oh, doesn't not, surprise not, me because I think she fits the... Huh?
Judgment Day. It's not Judgment Day. It's the Judgment Day.
Oh, whatever.
It's even dumber than Judgment Day.
Yes, just call it Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
Which you're just recycling an old pay-per-view from Edge's days. So with the name, but whatever. But I was shocked when it was Rhea for a minute. I was like, that was cool. I was kind of hoping it was T-Bar, because us and our whole theory about that's what they should do with T-Bar, but
still say T-Bar.
And for all we know, they could end up add in one more person.
I think it should be T-Bar.
I do too, because then you can just call him Donovan and Damian, yeah, and you got Rhea.
I'm fucking T-Bar. Make up a new name. I don't give a shit. Just not fucking T-Bar.
Yeah. This is true. But I think he would fit in that group very well. I mean, Rhea fits in that group, I think, too, though.
Well, next pay-per-view, apparently. After you get your fucking crazy fucking six fucking way. They're going to do So on Raw, it was Liv versus Rhea. Rhea won. And then Rhea fucking put her next to Texas Cloverleaf, like, ever. And then 20 minutes later, fucking Finn decides he wants to come out, but he doesn't. Poses off. He, you know, Jeff Hardy's the fuck out of himself up there.
Oh, and yeah.
Then, like, half his song plays, and then fucking AJ Styles comes out. Like, this, all this time, lives in a ring just getting her ass whooped. They're posing and shit. They do, like, a two sweet. They finally come down to the ring. And then, you know, fucking new brood, new brood. Whatever the fuck they call them. They take off, but so you gotta get that match. You gotta get fucking fake Bullet Club and Liv.
Yeah.
New brood, and then that's when your T-Bar is gonna come out and be the fourth member at whatever the fuck the next pay per view is. Hell in a Cell.
I think it's Hell in a Cell, followed by Money in the Bank, maybe.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Because they advertised both of those during the show.
So Money in the Bank is out.
They showed Hell in a Cell first, so I assume that's first. And then they showed Money in the Bank, so I assume that's second. But I don't know. WWE's retarded, so who knows?
Yeah, well, I mean, Money in the Bank is July, so.
Yeah. No, it makes sense, because it's usually followed by SummerSlam, which is usually August, so.
Yeah, so that's that.
Edge cut his hair, too, on Raw.
Yeah, he didn't cut it on Raw, but,
like, but yeah, I know when he came on Raw with his haircut, which is fine because Edge cannot pull off the long hair like he used to back in the day.
He got the Rhea Ripley haircut.
Yeah,
it looks just like Rhea Ripley's haircut.
It's fine. It still looks better than that crazy chaotic mess of he was trying to pull off.
Yeah, I don't know if I like. I don't know if I like him. That group so far. I mean, like, it's good. They haven't really done anything yet.
No, it's still too fresh. Right now,
their Retribution went up mask.
Yeah, for the time being. It just depends on where this goes.
I mean, it's going to end up being Denver's, like, Bullet Club thing, whatever the fuck I said, but...
Yeah, I mean... I feel like if they're gonna, like, eventually it could be them versus the Bloodline too at some point, but they're gonna need another guy to do that. So,
no, it won't.
Unless they just let Rhea fight fucking with the guys.
Yeah, why the fuck not?
Which I feel like they should, honestly. I feel like they should just do that. Like, get over all that bullshit and just do that. Because I'm pretty sure Rhea could toss around the Usos a bit.
Yeah, right. She's not gonna fucking throw Roman, but like she could throw a fucking Uso.
Yeah, easily.
You can have to jump around anyway. Like it'd be easy as fuck.
Yeah. So, but we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it for Backlash and kind of Raw, I guess.
Yeah.
I really wasn't getting out of attention to Raw. I was flipping back to watching that in the Celtics game. So.
Yeah, I put it on last night, actually, because I watch it through Hulu, and I fell asleep part of the way through, so.
Whatever. I don't think you missed anything.
It's Raw. I really didn't expect to see much, to be honest.
Nope. Under Siege, I just wanted to congratulate us for winning the Impact Tag Team titles.
Yay!
And Mia made an appearance there, and something else happened. I already forgot. I didn't watch that either, but I read some shit.
Yeah,
I don't really have good notes today.
Yeah, I mean, all I've watched for the past like week or so has just been WWE minus NXT. So,
yeah, I mean, whatever. All right, so I guess that's that. Well, King's gonna talk.
Yep.
Go rant or some shit.
Yes.
And then he has some questions for us that I have, and we'll do that when we come back. Then.
All right.
Gang, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
All right.
Okay, welcome to the Monday Night Rant. I am the king of old school. Let's get down to business here. I got a few things going. First off, I watched Backlash. Well, bits and pieces of it. Didn't sit through what I wanted to. And from what I've seen, it was disappointing. I mean, the 6-man tag was okay, but I was hoping for more out of that. I'm not going to say winners and losers. I'm just in case anybody else was like me and didn't catch it when it was live. The I Quit match again was okay, but semi-predictable, semi. At least for me, I kind of had that feeling it was going to end that way. I wanted to see the Edge and AJ Styles match. That one actually exceeded my expectations, which is rare. I was not anticipating the third member of Judgment Day. Well, I kind of was expecting them to come out with somebody else, but not just yet, and not who walked out. Let's put it that way. So that exceeded my expectations. And the happy assholes can just kick their own asses, and I don't really care. Same thing goes for Cody and Seth Rollins. So, yeah. So there's Backlash in a nutshell. Raw last night. From what I saw, nothing overly spectacular again. The only thing is that I think Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes is going to end up being a stretched out fucking feud. Waiting to see when Orton and Riddle are going to turn on each other. That has yet to happen, but, you know, I think they got to build something up first. Aside from that, the only other thing I have going on Raw, excuse me, is got a question. What the fuck was Becky Lynch wearing? Was she, like, going for a Judge Dredd look? Because that's pretty much the only thing that I can think of. Yeah. Also going to give my douchebag of the week a little early. Going to go with Sonny. I know it's been said, but Sonny has been officially charged, and I guess she's in jail for vehicular homicide. Yet she'll never be seen again in WWE programming. I can guarantee that. She needs to just give it up and go away. Because, I mean, if you look at, go deep down, a lot of the bullshit from the 90s with the Click and everybody else stemmed from Sonny. So, I mean, Shawn Michaels, who was fucking Sonny, pretty much, thought that, you know, she was screwing around with Bret Hart at the same time she was screwing around with him on Chris Candido. And that's what led to their feud. But I don't know how true it was, if she was screwing around with, you know, both of them or just the one. God only knows. But that's pretty much what led to their feud and on in and out of the ring, and potentially led to the Montreal Screwjob being the way that it was, and, you know, definitely led to the Sonny days and losing a smile and all that bullshit. But, you know, past is the past with that one, so who cares? And she's my douchebag of the week. Aside from that, I really didn't have a lot going. So instead, whereas we've been doing these silly little questions for the past few weeks, I do have a few questions of my own. So I'd like to ask the guys. I had 5 initially, and then I sat and thought about it, and I came up with a 6th. So, yeah, let's get things going. Question 1. There's been wrestlers who brought animals to the ring before. I mean, guys like Hillbilly Jim back in the 80s used to bring different farm animals every time. I believe the Godwins brought a pig out at one point. I think Ricky Steamboat at one point had a Komodo dragon that he brought out. I think it was a one-off deal, but still. But more famously, you remember the British Bulldogs, both as a tag, you know, Davey Boy and Dynamite, brought out, I believe, Matilda. I apologize for that. My dogs just barked at something. But yeah, the British Bulldogs brought out Matilda, and Davey Boy as a single at one point, I think, was bringing out Winston. So, you know, they had them, and you had Al Snow had Pepper the Chihuahua for a hot minute, and you had Coco Beware had Frankie, and obviously you have Jake the Snake Roberts with Damien, and there were others, but Damien was the more famous of the lot. So my question is, who had the best animal? Personally, I'm biased, and I'm going to go with Jake the Snake Roberts, but I'm asking the guys, who do you think had the best animal? So that's that. That's question 1. Question 2, I'm going to go with inanimate objects come into the ring with them. Most notably, you have, Chavo Guerrero Jr. back in WCW brought Pepe the hobby horse when he supposedly lost his fucking mind. You had Perry Saturn had Moppy for a while, and obviously Al Snow with Head in both ECW and WWF. So I have to ask, you know, who was the best inanimate manager? I got to go with Head on that one, just because I'm biased again. But that's just me. Curious what the guys will think. Question three is props. Who brings out the best props? You got Drew McIntyre with the Claymore. You've got Undertaker's Urn, Big Boss Man's Nightstick, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4. You know, you get a bunch of others. You know, the Mountie had the stun gun. The stupid Street Profits have their stupid Dixie Cups, or whatever the fuck you want to call them. So, I mean, there's a bunch of shit, so I'm curious who has the best prop, and which, as a second part to that question, which prop actually makes the best sense for that character? Excluded are obvious things like, you know, Sting's baseball bat and Hunter's sledgehammer, shit like that, you know, doesn't really count. But I'm curious, you know, what everybody else is, you know, what your thoughts are. And maybe there's somebody that I'm not thinking of. So, you know, if you can think of something else, go ahead. Just popping in my head was Jericho's fucking clipboard, his list. That's another one. So, I mean, you can come up with something else. Be my guest. Curious what you can think of. Let's see. Question four is actually no. Yeah, question four is, who of the lot, who would you rather see? Suplex City, Brock Lesnar, or would you rather the human suplex machine, Taz, in a match where they can only hit suplexes and submission holds? Obviously, if you're going against each other, I mean, Brock Lesnar does have like a foot on Taz, and definitely the strength advantage on Taz. So if it was them going against each other, it would pretty much be a no contest. But in general, if you're just looking at their suplexes and submission holds, the Taz Mission, Rear Naked Choke, things of that nature, who would you rather see in a match? Not who would win between the two of them. Who would you rather see? Which leads me to question five, which came from this question. Who has the best rolling suplex combination? You know, Brock Lesnar does his take on what Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit used to do when they did the 1,000,005 fucking German suplexes. So who do you think does the best of the lot? Was it Brock Lesnar? Was it Kurt Angle? Was it Chris Benoit himself? Or maybe you're more into the Three Amigos. Was it Eddie Guerrero doing it for, as a traditional suplex? Or is there somebody else that does the Three Amigos? Because I know that there are other superstars that do that now. So who do you think did it best with the rolling suplexes, the multiple rolling suplexes? Who do you think was the best at it? I'll give my take on that one and question four because I didn't answer it. Actually, did I answer question three? Question three, I'm going to, with the inanimate object coming to the ring, I'm going to go with Hacksaw's 2x4, a toss-up between the 2x4 and the urn. Actually, no, I'm going to stick with the urn. The urn was my number one because that was, at one point, the source of the Undertaker's powers. Question four, who would I rather see, Taz or Brock Lesnar? I'd rather see Taz. I don't know why. I found Taz more entertaining in the ring. Maybe it's because Brock Lesnar tends to get more of that squash match mentality, and Taz actually did go through more battles in ECW, so maybe that's why. But I'd rather see Taz myself. And question five, who had the best rolling suplex? I'm going to actually rank the four that I said, and I'm going to say that Benoit was first because he was first. He was the first one to do it, and the others tend to copy that. I'm going to say Eddie goes second because he, with the Three Amigos, because he did it a different way. And then a toss up between Angle and Lesnar. Probably more so Angle, because when it comes to Lesnar doing it, Lesnar's just doing it, tossing the people around, and it just, again, goes back to the squash mentality. You know, it just looks like he's just beating the holy hell out of people. Which brings me to my question number six. Battle of the best technical wrestlers. And in this one, I'm really pissing people off, I guess. I'm going to say Chris Benoit is out on this matchup again. Second mention of Chris Benoit in this episode. People are going to hate me because you don't talk about Benoit. It's like Encanto. Instead of Bruno, it's Benoit. So, yeah, I'm going to ask the question, who's the better technical wrestler? Chris Benoit? Kurt Angle? CM Punk? Daniel Bryan? Brock Lesnar? Or Bret Hart? Who is the best technical wrestler in that group? I can't pick them. Can you? I mean, I know who I'm leaning towards, and I can eliminate parts, but I can't pick who's best. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what you guys are going to answer for these six questions. Love to see if you can come up with anything that I haven't thought of. And, yeah, as you can see, I really didn't have that much going on, so I wrote my own little questionnaire. next week, we'll see what I can come up with. Maybe I'll do a little better. With that said, I'm done talking to myself for the week. Have a good one, everybody.
What's going on, y'all? It's your neighborhood bake shop here, MHSL Bake. And you are now rocking with the Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Those are my guys over there. Make sure y'all tap in anytime they drop. You know what I mean? Good peoples. Good topics. Great puns. Yeah, man. Check them out. Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Check them out because Bake said so. Money high, stress low. That's the motto. You listening to Save You in the Background featuring my artist I93 Carry On. Make sure y'all check out the new music.
Back, King asked six fucking questions, and we gotta do douchebag of the day.
Yes. Well, we'll do douchebag real quick because I'm just gonna copycat King and say Sonny.
Okay, fine. I'm gonna try back because we didn't do a show when he was fucking talking shit about fucking Bisping mother.
Oh, I didn't see that at all. But I'm still sticking with Sonny because.
Sonny can get there. Whatever. I'm going right back.
All right.
All right, cool. All right, so I guess we'll ask the questions. Something about best animal or some shit.
Yeah. who brought the best animal basically to the ring? I'm going with the British Bulldogs and Matilda. I would say Jake the Snake, because I love Jake the Snake, but I fucking hate snakes, like actual snakes, so I can't.
You gotta go Matilda?
Yeah.
All right, I was gonna pick Matilda as well. Fuck it. Matilda it is.
All right. And I believe the next one was best inanimate object that like was not an actual weapon. So like i.e. head and
the answer is head, right? Like I don't understand.
With it not being a weapon and an inanimate object, I had to say head. Like I don't know what else to pick.
Yeah, I mean, like, what else you got? You got Head or Moppy?
Yeah, and Head was the coolest because people actually liked it, and motherfuckers used to show up with the styrofoam heads, like, all the time.
Does everybody want?
Head, yeah, it was like, it was the best one, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy choice. Sorry, I was just thinking of the time that Earthquake crushed the snake.
Yeah.
Because we talk about Shark all the time, so.
Yes, we do.
So we got to get an Earthquake out there now. Anytime he crushed the snake. Anyway. So the next one was like props, which I thought was like the same shit.
Yeah, like kind of the same thing, but it was more like weapon, but obviously you couldn't use like Triple H's hammer and Sting's bat. So for me, I went very obscure with this because I used to love this group back in the day because they used to just bring out like trash cans full of plunder and shit like that to fight with. But the best was when they brought out a bicycle, and that's Public Enemy because Dusty Rhodes yelled, "He's got a bicycle!" And I don't know why. It was the fucking first thing that came to my mind.
Okay. I don't really know. Not Public Enemy. I mean, I guess the urn made sense, right? Like, that was a good one by King.
Yeah.
That's iconic. Give me Mr. Fuji's cane.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's what I go on. Mr. Fuji's cane.
Yeah. That's a good one. The only other one I would go with, if it technically counts, is the Mist from like Muda, Tajiri. It was used by a lot of people. Asuka.
Yep. Oh, it's really a prop. I mean, it's weird, I guess, but I like that.
It's kind of a prop, just one you can't see until it's used because it's definitely just like, you know, some packet they just squish in their mouth and then spray out, but
I don't think that's where King was going with that. I'm gonna say, yeah, fuck it. It counts though. Fuck it.
I mean, I don't know. I was just going obscure with it because there's so many easy options too. You know? Like the urn is very iconic, but it is also almost as easy an option as Sting's bat or Triple H's fucking hammer to me.
Is what else? You can pick the list.
Yeah, the list wasn't bad. The list of Jericho.
You can pick scarf.
I mean, technically, you could also pick like Cobra, Mr. Socko, too. Kinda.
Yeah, I guess so. Cobra's yeah. That would be in the animal section.
Okay. I mean, if you really thought it was a real cobra, but all right.
Could you include like
fucking? Does that mean I could use like Jimmy too from fucking R-Truth? Oh,
Jimmy, inanimate object. That's my favorite one. That's what I'm fucking picking. I don't know what I just said for the last time, but that, I'm going with the inanimate object one, not Head. Jimmy. Little Jimmy. I don't think Head's a good answer.
God. Oh.
Fuck it. Right. Little Jimmy for both of those.
Oh, man. And then the fourth one was, would you rather see Taz or Brock in a match that was only like suplexes and submissions or something like that?
Yeah, suplexes and submissions. So, like, are we talking like Taz now? Because I'd rather see Brock now than Taz.
Yeah, if we're going current, yeah, that makes sense. But I think he just means, like, their heydays.
I get it.
I'm going Taz because I used to love watching Taz suplex the shit out of people in ECW, so.
Yeah, plus, like, you'd probably get a cool match out of it. It'd probably be, like, him and Sabu or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy.
Fine. Because those were great matches. The human suplex machine.
If they were going against each other, I do think Brock would fucking kill him.
Brock would definitely win if they faced each other. That's for sure. But I'm still going Taz because I like Taz better than Brock.
I'm going Taz as well. That's pretty unanimous there.
Yep. And then the fifth one was, you know, who had the best, like, multiple suplex type of, or rolling suplex type of move. So, i.e., Kurt, Brock, Eddie, or Benoit.
Eddie is the answer for me, anyway. Yeah. Three of them were cool because he put his own little flair on it. It was, you know what I mean? Like, it was fun to watch. You know what I mean? It wasn't just a wrestling move, you know?
Yeah, and I agree. I think Eddie is the only answer to this question, to be honest. So I know Benoit technically did it first.
I don't care. Like I said,
but Eddie, you know,
better.
Fucking Three Amigos was the best version of that ever, and no one ever is ever gonna beat it. I may be very biased in saying that because I'm a huge Eddie fan too, just like you are. But no,
it's definitely Eddie all the way.
Yes. And that kind of also leads into, like, his last question, which was, who was the best technical wrestler? And the group he gave us was, like, D-Bry, Punk, Benoit.
Lesnar.
Yeah.
Angle. Oh. And Hart.
Yeah.
I'm going Bret Hart.
I knew you were going to go Bret Hart. He was...
I don't know why he put Bret Hart on the fucking list. As soon as he fucking put Bret Hart on the list, I said, hey, Clay, pick Bret Hart.
It's, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I heard the list, and he said Bret Hart, and I'm like, Clayton's picking Bret Hart. I know there's no other answer for Clayton other than Bret Hart.
Bret Hart.
He went with Benoit and his whole, we don't talk about Benoit in Kanto thing.
No, what the fuck's in Kanto?
It's a Disney movie. It's on thing. I have yet to watch it. So, but that's where that song, We Don't Talk About Bruno, no, no, no. I'm sure you fucking heard on TikTok has come from.
Sing some more of it.
So.
Sing some more of it for me.
I don't know any more of it, and I'm not singing any more than that. Although Benoit's name does fit in place of Bruno, and it still, like, sings just fine, which is kind of funny. Did you sing
that part?
No, I'm not singing that part.
About Benoit?
We don't talk about Benoit. No, no. See, it works.
Okay, sure.
Keep making me think. Right. I'm picking D-Bry, though. I'm going to be completely different and piss everybody off and go with D-Bry.
That's fine. Whatever.
So, I knew you were picking Bret Hart. He went with Benoit. I mean, I don't. Like, D-Bry is not my favorite, but he is an amazing technical wrestler at the end of the day. So,
I agree.
So,
I'm a wrestler. I'm just saying, like,
it's a little bit more current than going with one of the older guys. So, and those guys just inspired D-Bry anyway.
I mean, three of those guys are active.
True. Because Punk is active still. I also don't think Punk is... I like Punk a lot, but I don't know if I put Punk in the best technical wrestler category, though.
No, because if he could wrestle, he wouldn't have got choked up by Mickey Gall.
You're not wrong. You know, I feel like D-Bry would be better in an MMA fight just because of the fact that he's way more technical with submissions and shit, but he'd still get his ass choked out probably. Or he's going to get, like, fucking, you know, punched across the ring.
I think Angle would have been good for it.
Yeah.
I mean, not now, but, like...
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, definitely.
Olympic champion fucking Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I just, like, I would have picked somebody else to go in that group other than CM Punk for us to pick from.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't make the list, though.
No, I did not.
So who's you? So who's the sixth person you would make in there? I don't put Punk in the top 10, really, but, like, I liked Punk a lot. It's just for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. I like Punk a lot for exactly different reasons. I don't know, like, you can go a little bit more current with it, and this guy's like Zack Sabre Jr.,
true.
That could definitely make that list.
I think six. Yeah. I mean, WWE's top 10.
Yeah. I don't know right now. I can't think off the top of my head. There's a few others that are pretty good technical wrestlers I just can't think of.
Yeah. Kurt Hennig.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, hello, him and Bret Hart, SummerSlam 91. Like, hello.
Right.
I mean,
start of the episode. The whole fucking series started with SummerSlam 91.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's definitely others.
Yeah. It, I mean, there's more than fucking seven that we named.
Yes.
So it's like half of fucking wrestling.
Honestly, there's definitely some really good technical wrestlers out there we're just blanking on right now.
Well, yes, what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
You know what I did watch?
What?
Adam Cole and Britt Baker on Bar Rescue.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a fucking bar?
They don't have a bar. They would be like the spies and shit.
Oh, okay.
Nobody recognized them at all.
Well, that's bad. Not one wrestling fan in that fucking bar, apparently.
It was like fucking Jacksonville or something, too. It was definitely Florida.
So, I don't know. I don't think Florida has the greatest wrestling cities either.
They have Orlando.
Orlando's probably the only acceptable one there.
I'm sure fucking other cities get fucking hyped. I mean, I'm not saying they're like Philadelphia or any goddamn thing, but.
Well, like Philly, New York, Chicago, Boston, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to get recognized in cities like that by. There's at least one wrestling fan in some fucking bar everywhere. But I guess in Jacksonville, there's not as many.
There'd be some, since they fucking are always there.
Yeah, a lot of them live in fucking Florida anyway, too, so that's surprising. But I'm not living in Florida.
Why? Is it the Gators?
The Gators, the people.
Some more people.
Like, I don't know. Florida is way too extra for me. Also, like, there's way too many other, like, wildlife things that I don't want to deal with down there. Besides the Gators, I think I'm least afraid of the Gators over all the other crap they have down there.
Oh,
I don't know. Like, they got snakes and stupid shit I don't like, and no, I'm good. And who the fuck knows what you're gonna see in Florida? Florida is the most like extra state in our fucking country. So,
I mean, one of them. I think all states can be a little extra, but still.
Yeah, but usually when some crazy fucked up shit is happening and you see it on the internet and it's like the most like random thing that you'd see ever, it's Florida.
Yeah.
So.
Florida's like, yeah. If it's weird, it just goes there.
Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Anything good?
No, I think that's it. I don't have anything else from this week.
All right. Next week, we'll get a prediction Friday or something. Move those numbers up.
Yes. We need to do that, finally. They've been getting a little stagnant just sitting there.
All right. Well, until then, motherfucking deuces.
All right. Peace.